chapter 7, verses 1 to 9. And then the second reading will be the Ephesians letter. So, Samuel 2, chapter 7, verses 1 to 9. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth."
This is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, born in Christ. "So then, remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth taught the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body, through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in your Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God."
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
You too. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for these scriptures, one of the many ways in which you communicate with us. We thank you, O God, for our ancestors in faith. We pray that through their experiences and through their relationship with you, that our minds and our hearts and our souls may be opened to your word. And we pray that as we hear it, we might be inspired to implement it in the world. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Like Nan, I have my little props here, so I'm going to preach down here. So, this is the first week, and this is the first sermon, mine anyway. And this unique time, the job, I read an article in Business Insider. And this article was entitled, The 14 Things Successful People Do in the First Week of a New Job. So I would like all of us this morning together just to, let's just check and see how I'm doing so far. So the first one was introduce yourself. And I think, Priscilla, we did get the article in the newspaper this week, which in a sense introduced myself to the church and to the community. The second thing is ask a ton of questions. And I did make sure on Friday to ask someone what time worship was this morning. So I got that one right, 10 o'clock. The third one is very important. Be humble. And I believe that on Monday morning, I confided to Tina, I have no idea what I'm doing. Number four is befriend a veteran who can help you navigate the politics. And I can tell you that I've met with David and I've met with Jack twice this week. So I've done that four times. Number six is analyze the makeup of your new team. Now, this one confused me a little bit. I don't know much about makeup, but I buy an awful lot for my daughter. So I asked her to take care of that one. Number seven, figure out the coffee situation. I have been to the works three times this week. Tick, done. Find your go-to pharmacy is number eight, and take out lunch spots. I've even done better than that. Look at this. This is my Walgreens card. This is my CVS card. And this is my Rite Aid card. So I have done all of that. Ask different groups to go out to lunch. Bob and I took care of that on Friday. We both had hamburgers. Take. Get organized. To set good habits is number 10. Well, each morning this week, I listen to NPR, Fox News, and devotional podcasts. Ran 10K every morning and just had a brief prayer in the sanctuary before I entered the office. Number 11, and it's one I'd like to focus on this morning, start documenting and demonstrating that which you and the company have in common. And for me, that's easy. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that this sermon does just that. Show your face as much as possible. I went to the senior center with Roger Brown. I had lunch on Tuesday and Friday at Loaves and Fishes. And I spent some time with Nan and the BCC, just showing my face. The last two are reinforce your new connection via social media. I'd like everyone who's seen my Facebook posts on the Center Congregational Church Facebook site to raise your hands. All right, there we go. Everybody who hasn't,
I have to find that one.
Check your Center Congregational Church Facebook. Finally, reconnect with your former colleagues. Many of you met with Brian Fulwider and John Barnes, and I have just been able to express to them every other day how much of a joy it has been so far to be with you all. So, I think I have all of the boxes ticked. Let us pray that this ministry together is as successful in the future as I think it has been in just the very first week. But in all honesty, the success of the ministry is not dependent on whether I fulfill these 13 items found in Business Insider. My success and your success is entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit, which through you and I enable us to work together. What will determine our success is the degree to which we are going to foster the realm of God in this church, in this community, and in the world. And the degree to which we foster the realm of God will be dependent upon the degree to which we hold dear two covenants. The first is that God is with us wherever we are. And the second is that God is with us whoever we are. Friends, there are so many things that can divide us as a community of faith. I can name several: age, generation gaps, gender, politics, money, insults, pride, grudges, personal preferences, backgrounds, wounds that we may have, insecurities. And truth be told, there really is so much which can divide us, so much so that it seems overwhelming. Yet I believe that the two covenants that God articulated in the scriptures this morning are the key to determining our priorities and our future as a community of faith here at Center Church. What binds us together, as we sang on that first Sunday in July? What strengthens us? What overcomes all that divides us? And the answer is, I think, these two covenants that God has with us. God is with us wherever we are, and God is with us whoever we are. There are many, many, many covenants in the Bible. Nan covered one of them. And just as there are many commandments, there are many covenants, but they can be summarized. Remember, Jesus summarized the commandments, all of them, into two. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in our holy scriptures, there are also many covenants. But I think they can be summarized also into two. What are those many covenants? Well, we had one with Adam and Eve. We had one with Noah, which the children heard about. There's the covenant with Abraham, Moses, King David, which we heard about in our scripture today. But many of these covenants were sort of geographically located. Adam and Eve, where?
In the garden.
Garden of Eden, that's right. Noah, well, the whole earth. Abraham, it was from Ur to Canaan. Moses, it was the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula. King David and later his son Solomon, it was Jerusalem and the temple. In all of these covenants, God said to the people of faith, I am with you wherever you are. And in our scripture from the 2 Samuel, we hear God saying to David, I have been with you from the get-go. I have been with you as you wandered as a shepherd boy. I have been with you as you contested with Saul. I have been with you as you established a capital in Jerusalem. And God says to David, I have been with you wherever you went. And God says, I will continue to be faithful to you and to your descendants, such as your son Solomon, so long as you continue to be in faithful relationship with me. The covenants, all of these covenants can be summarized to promise God's presence, no matter where we are geographically situated. Now, the second covenant that we hear articulated in the Christian scriptures is, I think, a bit more sophisticated and more beautiful than the first. Not because it is better than the first covenant, but rather because it includes the first covenant and surpasses it. The second covenant promises God's presence with us no matter who we are. You see, the first covenant is somewhat restrictive, for it generically included only the Abrahamic people. In fact, it is the Abrahamic people, the Hebrews, the Jews, that are actually called the covenant people. And their understanding of God was revolutionary at the time in the sense that God was not restricted to a certain geographical location as other peoples believed. This covenant, for all intents and purposes, however, was restricted to one people who practiced the rather unconventional, I'm sure when it was first introduced, custom of circumcision. The second covenant, inaugurated by Jesus Christ and implemented by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, is the covenant that promises, no matter who you are, I am with you. So it goes beyond geographic location. It goes beyond one people, but to all peoples of the earth. I am with you, no matter who you are. And Jesus' ministry demonstrated this. Jesus ate with sinners. He interacted with the blind. He associated with the lepers. Women, demoniacs. By the way, the listing of women and demoniacs next to each other is just sheer coincidence. Undereducated, overeducated, the poor, Samaritans, Syrophoenicians, those divorced, children, traitors, working class, widows, even the enemy, the Roman. Even and especially the most marginalized are shown to be God's favorite and worthy of God's love and salvation, no matter who they were. So, the two covenants, wherever you are and whoever you are. Friends, number 11 of the top 10 things I should do on my first week on the job, I think is the most important. Start demonstrating and documenting that which you and the company have in common. Our relationship is two ways. I had a ministerial profile, and as the search committee knows, this church had a ministerial profile. We sold each other to each other. And on what were we sold? For me, and I pray also the search committee, I believe that what we have in common, what we believe in, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who makes us one, no matter where we are, and no matter who we are. And what is the company? Well, it could be the Christian faith. It could be our denomination, United Church of Christ, or it could be Center Congregational Church. And that which we have in common is a passion to live out the gospel, the good news. And what is the good news? That God is with us, no matter where we are and no matter who we are. If we believe in the covenant told to King David by Nathan, that God is with us no matter where we are, then we as a community of faith should reach out to those who perhaps have become estranged, who find themselves elsewhere, and say to them, you are welcome here to return. We need to say to them, no matter where you have been, God's presence has blessed you, and we wish to honor God's power in your life, and we wish to honor that through continued fellowship with you. The Apostle Paul states to the Jews and to the God-fearing Gentiles, and we really cannot underestimate the degree to which these two parties hated each other at the time. The Apostle Paul says, for Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone in whom the whole structure is joined together, Jesus Christ is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. If we believe in this covenant told to the early church, that whether you are Greek or Jew, whether you are slave or free, whether you are male or female, whether you are old or young, you are welcome at Center Congregational Church. Whether you are white, black, Asian, or Hispanic, you are welcome. Whether you do or don't know how to operate the sound system, whether you are gay or straight, you are welcome. Whether you're conventional or countercultural, whether conservative or liberal, welcome. Whether you believe and can say all the articles of the Apostles' Creed or not. Whether you believe in that which is traditional or contemporary, whether we agreed with the former ministers of this church or whether we did not. Whoever you are welcome at Center Congregational Church. Why? Because God communicates that no matter where people are on life's journey, and no matter who we are, we can best discern the will of God together, despite all that potentially divides us. Friends, let me conclude by saying I really discerned one thing very clearly this week. And that is the enormous degree to which each and every one of you love this church. I've heard it from all of you. If we are to call our faith or our denomination or this local church a company, let us proclaim to those far and to those near the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let us live it out, for that is what we have in common. Perhaps Thomas Merton said it best. We are already one, but we imagine that we are not. And what we have to recover is our original unity in Jesus Christ. What we have to be is what we already are. This was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded, Amen.